Tuesday night on The Fan pregame. Sportsnet, 590 The Fan for the next hour. Loaded show. Lots to go through today. Was a busy one in terms of news, and we're going to hit it all. Cassie Campbell-Pascal is going to join us in 10 minutes. She's recently been added as a special advisor to the PWHL. She's going to help us tee up tonight's game on the network, Toronto versus Ottawa, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet. They've already had 15 games through this inaugural season, so lots to reflect on, lots to look forward to. She's actually coaching one of the PWHL showcase teams for the 3-on-3 game next week at NHL All-Stars. So we'll get a little maybe coaching scouting report from her. Her team has Poulin and Knight, but I'm still picking the other team. So we'll get into that.
Okay, we'll get into that. Then at 6:30, Canada Basketball GM and father to new Raptor RJ Barrett. Rowan Barrett will join us. We'll chat about the newly announced exhibition series, which you'll see on Sportsnet, for the Canadian men leading up to Paris. And maybe we'll squeeze in a question about just how open the doors may be to those who didn't go to Jakarta last summer.
Oilers are on the network tonight, a massive win streak in hand. Columbus Blue Jackets, 9 p.m. tonight on Sportsnet West. They're looking for their 14th consecutive win. That's already a franchise record. We're going to lay out the scenarios to how they can beat the all-time record. Corey Perry not making his debut tonight, as we think at this point, but on the horizon.
And then about 6:45, we'll get into some NBA news on a big Raptors-adjacent NBA news day.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Kyle Lauer may be done dirty, traded from the Miami Heat to the Charlotte Hornets. Masai would never, while Adrian Griffin was fired as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
And then we're moments away from this year's Baseball Hall of Fame class being announced. Could be any minute now. They'll be inducted into Cooperstown this summer. Few Blue Jays on the ballot to keep an eye out. We'll update you when it comes through. But let's go back to that biggest story of the day, which is the Oilers and the Blue Jackets tonight. Oilers, massive, massive favorites, of course, minus 370. We mentioned it. They're on pace right now. This would be the 14th straight win if they can get it tonight. The all-time record for consecutive wins is the 92-93 Penguins with 17 games. Now, the Oilers tonight, Columbus, they've got the Blackhawks on Thursday. So those seem like two wins. The Predators Saturday, kind of a mid-team.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights on February 6th would be game number 17, which would be the one that would tie this streak. And then they would have the Anaheim Ducks for game number 18th. I think they can do this, Justin.
Yeah, the modern NHL wins record is definitely in sight Edmonton Oilers. It's laid out, and the Golden Knights are in a weird spot right now, being called out by their coach last night. So that one might be a little bit more winnable than it looks, at least on paper. But this team, like, we weren't all so off base here at Sportsnet leading into the
season. Right, everybody looks smart now.
Everyone picked the Oilers. Now everyone should be back on the Oilers. I mean, unbeaten for over a month. Over that stretch, 10 regulation wins, 2 in overtime, just 1 in a shootout. So they're handling business. 50 goals for, 22 against, and averaging less than 2 goals conceded per game. And I think that's the important one, because you look at the stats over the last month in about 2 or 3 days, 14 players have more points than McDavid, 23 have more than Leon Draisaitl. So it's not like they're just riding a superstar binge. They're getting .939 goaltending. They're doing this on the back of their goaltending, which is obviously something we couldn't say back in October.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Honestly, I don't think many people had expected a turnaround like this. I don't think anybody expected a turnaround like this. If you go back in time, you might check like Oilers Cup odds back in November. They would have been like crazy, crazy.
That was the time to buy.
Crazy. But I wonder for you, like, so you mentioned McDavid, 14 players have more points than him right now. He's still a top 3 or 4 guy for the Hart. Like, is this enough right now to put him in that conversation with McKinnon, with, you know, the best of the best? But if they can just get this team to the playoffs and around the corner?
Yeah, I mean, that stat is a little bit misleading because other teams have played more games over that stretch. But, like, Nathan McKinnon has more points over that same stretch and by a pretty wide margin. It's McDavid and then the field. Like, someone else has to make a case, right? In order to beat McDavid, we saw Austin Matthews do that by scoring 60 goals. And generally, if you can do something like that, maybe that's what puts you ahead of McDavid. But I think that standard is still there. Like, the rung on the ladder you still have to surpass, because by the end of the year, McDavid's probably going to be leading in everything. And the Oilers are probably going to be at least the number 2 seed in the Pacific Division, maybe even the number 1 seed in Pacific Division based on how they've played. So he's still the standard in every way. But if you look around the NHL, there are brilliant performances happening, and there are cases to be made to beat McDavid, and I think Nathan MacKinnon is probably leading that right
now. Do you think that there might be like a voters fatigue too that comes around to, all right, McDavid, okay, you know, Matthews has already got one. MacKinnon, though, you know, is this the year that people think we should give some more respect to Nathan MacKinnon because he's never had that level of championing?
It might be like the reverse fatigue where it's, oh, McKinnon's got to win one in his career, right? And this might be the only opportunity one of the last opportunities. So, yeah, I understand. Like, it's not about McDavid, though, I don't think. Like, I think everyone would love to vote for McDavid. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone wants to vote for MacKinnon as well. And when he has that season where clearly he can compare to McDavid or at least even stick his nose out in front of him, then, yeah, I think that's an easier call to make because even if he lugs his team back, that being McDavid, MacKinnon was the standard all year.
So with Corey Perry joining the Oilers, have they become, you know, the destination spot? You know, let's say at this trade deadline, you don't have an option. But this offseason, are people viewing the Edmonton Oilers differently? The fact that Corey Perry chose to go to the Oilers, mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. Who wouldn't, right? You know, but there are some other teams in the top echelon of the NHL that would be desirable, but he chose Edmonton.
Yeah, I don't know if Perry's decision like makes them the premium destination. I think maybe all things being equal in the summer, you can look at and convince yourself that, hey, you can have the chance to win plus the sights and sounds of Las Vegas or whatever. You know what I mean? Like compare different markets. But Edmonton on this run where they look like they are the team that should be favored to win the Stanley Cup, I think for a hockey nerd and a hockey hardo like Corey Perry, who wants to win and has been chasing it for a while, again, it was an easy decision because look how good the Oilers are and look how good I fit into what they do.
All right, hockey hardo, hockey nerd, Cassie Campbell, there's your sentence. Cassie, thanks so much for jumping on with us tonight. How's it going?
Did you just call me a hockey nerd or what?
I might have.
That was a shock.
You know, I think that's a compliment. I think it's a compliment, Cassie.
Okay.
I take it as a compliment. I very much am, and I'm proud of it. So thank you.
Wonderful. So we're talking about the Edmonton Oilers. We might as well start there with you tonight. They're on potentially for a 14th straight game for a win tonight against Columbus Blue Jackets. We just laid out their pathway to maybe the all-time record, which is only a couple more games, 17 in general. Have they emerged for you as the top 1, 2, 3 for the Stanley Cup so far?
Yeah, you know, I would say top 5 for mm-hmm. sure. I think out west here, you got to look at Vegas still and Colorado, you know, and the trade deadline coming up. You know, those two teams are going to be moving some parts, Vancouver. So, you know, definitely top 4, top 5, because you got to include some Eastern teams in there as well. And, you know, it was interesting back in the day when they were really struggling and it looked pretty awful in Edmonton. I thought, you know, with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Stuart Skinner, I knew was going to find his way again. You know, this team is too good to not be a playoff team. So I knew things were going to change. I didn't think they'd go on a run like this, but it's been pretty fun to watch out here on a regular basis, especially living in Alberta, just how well they're able to do.
Yeah, 4 wins away from matching the modern day record win streak, 5 from breaking it. Are you surprised that? Just because we were talking about it pre-show, 18 wins is the record, at least modern day, in the NHL. A little surprised it's that low, or is that just a product of parity and a really hard league to win in?
Yeah, I think it is. And you just look at the division that they're in as well. It makes it even maybe more impressive what they've been able to accomplish. And, you know, I just think everything was so bad there for so long this year at one point that it had to turn. I think that's just the way the hockey gods are. And it definitely has turned. They've really clicked since the coaching change. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't so sure I agreed with the coaching change. I you know, I think Jay Woodcroft's an excellent coach. And, you know, obviously I've been proven wrong because Knobloch comes in and he's done an outstanding job. But, you know, one thing I think is that he's done a really good job of is you don't see their top power play unit out there for the whole 2 minutes anymore. You feel like the bottom 6 forwards feel like they're making a contribution. They've been playing better defensively, more of a simple game, and obviously getting good goaltending from Stuart Skinner, who's found his confidence. And, you know, he really took advantage of an opportunity last year and I think really struggled with not being the starter at the start of the season. And it took him a while to rebound as a young goaltender, but he seemed to have found his groove.
All right, so the Oilers on the cusp of 14 straight wins, and the PWHL 15 games into the season. It came pretty quick. This month has been full of multiple records being set, a lot of fun. And so I wonder for you, just broadly, like, what has been the best part for you with your new role, being able to watch this month, this inaugural season begin?
Well, a lot of fun stuff behind the scenes. You know, we were just on calls yesterday talking about the future, right? And that was really fun. And, you know, for me, I got to say, Ailish, like, I think that first weekend, you know, I was sitting at home watching, and I know you got to go to the game. I have season tickets in Toronto, but I give them away, actually, because I'm unable to be there living in Calgary. But, you know, watching the emotions of the players as they were introduced in the in their home openers, and you know a lot of the players. This was tough. This was a tough 4 years of ups and downs. What's going to happen? Where's this league going to go? What are we fighting for? How do we stick together? There was all these questions. And I thought the faces and the emotions when I was sitting at home watching those games and watching the players being introduced, watching Jayna Hefford come out with Billie Jean King. And she's a great friend of mine. She's a great teammate, but she doesn't show a ton of emotion. And, you know, she has a great way of hiding it. And even to watch her just come out and you could see the emotion on her face, I think that's my proudest moment so far. But I'm loving everything. I think, you know, we've exceeded expectations. We still have a long way to go. We got to continue to be humble. But the product has been excellent. Seeing it on TV almost every other night is incredible. I coach a minor girls hockey team out here. My daughter plays on, and all the kids are asking me about it. Did you see the game? You know, who played this and that? Who scored the goals? And, you know, that's something that just didn't happen before. So it's incredible to watch. I'm so proud of all the women, you know, in particular part of the PWHLPA and who fought for this, and you know, the people behind the scenes as well who are doing amazing things at the league level. It's been incredible to be a very small part of it.
You mentioned you were on calls all day talking about the future. Can you let us into some of those conversations?
No.
I know there's top secret stuff, but like, what does the future look like for you? Like 5 years from now, can you give us at least some details of what you want and what this group wants and expects and how it's going to evolve? Because just over a month, it seems like it's evolving in front of our eyes.
Yeah, you know, I think you have to look ahead. You have to start planning ahead. You have to give your hockey operations an opportunity to prepare the best that they can for your business opportunities to operations to do the best that they can. And they need a plan, right? So I think this has been put together rather quickly. It's been amazing what's been done in such a quick amount of time, but there's still lots more of work to be done. And I think I can tell you, Justin, that's the mentality of our staff, is that we just want to do whatever it takes to move this forward. And, you know, just talking about what's it going to look like when the players need to go to the Olympics or a world championship and trying to plan all those things out. You know, those are things that have to be ironed out. And, you know, just small little details. Every detail is being looked at, every scenario. We've already had some scenarios that have come up this year that haven't necessarily been ideal from a travel perspective. So how can we make that better down the road? How can we prevent these things from happening? And, you know, just being collaborative, you know, from our GMs to our business ops people to our hockey ops people. I'm sort of branching in all different areas and learning at this point and seeing how I can help in different areas. But it's important to have conversations. And we were fortunate to have a real long one yesterday. And we'll have more in the near future here.
Today I saw some rumors or maybe even confirmation that there's interest in Pittsburgh, for example, for expansion. Teams already and cities already wanting to add a PWHL team to their collection of professional teams. I wonder for you, and we talked to Taylor Heise yesterday, which is a really good perspective because she came right from university into professional. And there's a lot of players that had to have that gap year, as you mentioned, a couple years of working through this team. Next year, there's going to be this influx of college players, international players, and there's going to be not a lot of spots, I guess. Like, it's going to be extremely, you know, competitive. So I wonder, expansion, is that something that's a year, 2, 5 years down the road? Have you even been able to grasp, like, a 1 month into the season expanding already?
You know, I think the excitement that everyone's seen here over the first couple of weeks, I think there's a lot of teams and areas that really would love to have an expansion and be part of it. I think we got to be really smart though, and just understand that, you know, we got to look at the books and all those types of things. We have to be smart and even thinking about expansion at this time. What are the right markets? Is it the right time? Do we make sure that this is sustainable for 4 or 5 years before we even look at something like that? I'll be honest with you, Ailish, like those are decisions that are made by way smarter people than I am. And I'm just a special advisor. I don't really have that much say. But isn't it fun that we're talking about that already 2 weeks in? And teams are, you know, there's rumors out there about women's hockey. And I think that's kind of the incredible part about it. And, you know, I think it's going to happen. That's how, what I believe. And that's what I hope. Where the expansion happens and when it happens, I think it's really too early to even discuss that. But I think those conversations are always going to be something that I think Jaina and her staff and Sam Kaskin and his staff, that they always entertain. Like, how do we make this a better business opportunity? But those are the people they'll make those decisions that are above and beyond me.
Chatting with Brampton legend Cassie Campbell-Pascal.
Justin's from Brampton, if you hadn't noticed.
Oh, yes.
Had to squeeze it in.
Have you been to the Cassie Campbell Community Center?
I'm too old to actually participated myself, but I have been in there.
I go to work out there sometimes when I go home, and I pay my $10 to get in.
There you go.
And then the manager's like, you paid, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah, I paid. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Excuse me, I'm
Cassie. But you have to go. It's a pretty cool spot, and there's a great pool there too, Justin.
I've seen it. Very nice. And we were in need of a lot of recreational centers, so we definitely appreciate it. You mentioned the Taylor Heise interview we had yesterday. Obviously, one of the building blocks for this league. The state of young talent, has it been more than you expected? Has it been sort of what you expected, like in terms of looking forward and those who are going to be carrying the torch? Because many of the ones that we celebrate are those who have played at the international level for a while. Those are the household names. But in terms of the new names that are coming up and are going to be really important to the growth of the league, how would you assess how they've fared so far?
Yeah, well, she's okay. You know, I think she did a pretty good job. You know, it's interesting. I followed her because she played for Team USA. And when I had a part-time role with Team Canada, of course, that was part of my job. But I never really got to watch her a ton other than when she played for Team USA. And now I'm getting a chance to watch her all the time. And I'll be honest, I heard she was really good, but now I understand she's incredible, you know? Yeah. And I got to see it so many times for Minnesota's first few games here. And that's the difference even for me, someone who really cares about the game and, you know, loves to watch it as much as I can. I couldn't find a place necessarily to watch it all the time. And so, you know, I'd be getting sent video links to me from Hockey Canada or from different people I knew in the U.S. that were in NCAA. Can you send me a video link of your game? Da, 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 da. And, you know, for me, it's, we're getting a chance to see it on a regular basis. And, you know, even the physicality of the game, you know, Canada and U.S. was always physical. Our club system was always physical for the most part. Ailish, I don't know if you remember when you played, like it was pretty physical compared to some other hockey that we played. And now we're seeing it. Now we're seeing, yes, we've made a few rule changes, but now we're seeing it on a regular basis. And we're just like, how physical is this? How great are these young players? How great are our stars? And we're getting to say it every other night to each other, to our spouses on our couches, you know, in at the, you know, arenas. We're having those conversations because we're getting an opportunity to see it. And that's a huge thing to have all three major networks in our country, let alone what we have down south, covering it, because people now can see it, they can watch it, and they can understand that it's not just about Canada and US anymore. We have so much international talent, so many great players in this game beyond our international players that play for their countries. And, you know, that's what impresses me the most is the Erica Howes, the Jess Jones, who left their jobs to come and play in this league. And
Arkham Thunder legends. Those are my girls.
I know. That Thunder, the Brampton Thunder, or Markham Thunder it ended up being. But just, you know, those are the stories that are, I think, are pretty incredible. And hopefully we get a chance to tell them a lot more.
I got one last one here on the PW, and then we got to quickly ask you about the Calgary Flames, too. So get ready. You're going to be on the bench to coach Team King at the PWHL 3-on-3 showcase. I will be on the bench to interview Team Kloss, so I will not be on your bench. But I want to know your
coach. I might climb over. I might start like a fight or
I'll
something.
I'll throw a mic at you, and we'll chat.
Little John Tortorella.
There you go. Torts?
Then, well, you've got Marie-Philippe Poulin and Hillary Knight, two players that really never play together, and they're on the same team. Your roster's pretty stacked. Just what's your strategy going in so I can, you know, you give the girls on my bench a little bit of a heads up?
Okay, I got to be completely honest with you. I was asked today to do this video for the PWHL to promote the All-Star game. And I actually looked at my roster for the first time and I was like, Oh my God. Like I have her and her and like, who do I play together? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I'm going to reach out to like Kendall and Hillary and Pooh and be like, so who do you guys want to play with? And how do you want to do this? Like, I think I'm going to let them decide. But honestly, I swear to God, I looked at my roster for the first time today and I was like, who is on the other team? Like, how, what happened here? I think Billie Jean King pulled some strings.
She stacked it.
it's going to be fun. And it's, I know the women are going to take it seriously mm-hmm. because again, we're always, it's a showcase, right? We're always on eyes are on us. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Should I play like Knight and Pooh together? Should I put Mueller and Knight together? Should Ooh. I put Mueller and Pooh together? You know, I've got like Steckline and Keller, I think arguably
so good.
Two of my favorite U.S. defensemen. I got the two last world championship goaltending, winning goaltenders. I mean, I don't think I can go wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to make a bad decision.
Myself out there, I don't think I could go wrong. But any suggestions, give me a text. I'm open. I'm willing to be paid.
Oh, there you go.
So we'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to having a good time.
Let's touch on the Flames before we let you go, Cassie. They are in St. Louis tonight on Sportsnet 1. Of course, the Pascal household might be a little bit busy taking calls because it's supposed to be a busy time for the Flames. Is that a fact? Is the landline always in use?
You know, the hockey season at our house is, it never ends. It's like 24/7. It's either we're driving our daughter to hockey, we're going to a Flames game, we're I'm off somewhere calling a game or doing something. It's just a fun way to live, I got to tell you. But I'm excited now because I no longer work for Sportsnet. So I can actually say, go Flames, go. Mm. And I haven't been able to say that publicly for such a long time. You know, I think they're a team that there's a lot in flux, obviously, with trades and potential free agents. And but I think they've really played the best of their capability. They're right in a playoff mix. That part's been really fun to watch. And for me, a guy like Blake Coleman, you know, when I was a defenseman, I was an all-star defenseman, but when I moved to forward, I played on our top line, but I was like a plugger. You know, I was like, get the puck to Wickenheiser, Goyette. That was my thing. And to watch a guy like that is always so fun for me. He's a third line guy. He's contributing so much offensively and been such a great leader. He's been really fun to watch out here. You know, they're in tough to make the playoffs. I think everybody knows that, but Ryan Huska has pushed a lot of the right buttons this year in his first year as head coach. And again, I'll be completely honest, go Flames go. I can now say it and too bad for everyone out there on Twitter and whatever else that doesn't like it. It is what it is. And we love the game in our house and we're lucky to be a part of it.
You can say go Flames go, but you can't say specific PWHL team. So you won one, you lost one, right? You just got to cheer for all the PW teams.
I never thought of that.
Until expansion to Calgary.
Until expansion to Calgary.
You wouldn't be able to. Yeah.
Maybe a bit there. In your heart. Well, I heard you had a blast in Victoria, Cassie. I heard lots of good things about Hockey Day in Canada. So we'll catch up with that.
I was with your better half. Yeah. For a long part of it. So that was really fun. And although I don't know if he is your better half or you're actually his, I don't know how that all works.
We just complete each other, Cassie.
Girls gotta stick together.
50-50.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. He works hard. And the more I get to know him, the more I get to like him. So you did good.
All right. That's enough. Good. His head's going to be too big listening to this on national TV. All right, Cassie, we appreciate your time. Hopefully see you soon. We'll see you here in Toronto in a week, actually. So we'll catch up.
Okay. Thanks,
all right. Cassie.
Cheers.
Cassie Campbell, of course, with the PWHL as a special advisor. And that was really fun.
She perfect threw me union. A
curveball.
I loved
there.
It.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I thought that's what you were alluding to.
Yeah, no, I was. But
okay.
Quickly, we have the Hall of Fame class.
Mm-hmm.
The first announcements, all of the announcements, some of the announcements.
We have three names.
They are rolling in here. I'm pulling them up. You have them. Adrian Beltre, first name announced.
First ballot.
First ballot, first name announced. Joe Mauer. Second name announced, 15 years, six-time All-Star, has spent the entire career with the Twins, former AL MVP as well. Todd Helton, final name so far, maybe the final name in general, missed last year with 74.5% of the votes, and you need 75. So you got that extra half percent to get into the Hall of Fame. That's amazing.
Definitely. This is the thing about Hall of Fames. Like, you get a little older, you start like really understanding the impact of players, and I'm definitely there with Beltre. And Mauer was like a unicorn when it came to catchers for a little while there. But I will still maintain, if a guy like Alex Rodriguez is not in the Hall of Fame, and I get there's a decorated past for him, but he's got to be there. Too important to baseball, too good of a player. And for that reason, it's always just a little weird when we do these announcements.
There we go. So that's your inductees. They'll be this summer to Cooperstown, which will be an absolute blast. We'll take a quick break. We're going to talk to Rowan Barrett on the other side, Canada-USA. A big announcement about a big game this summer. All that to come on the Fan Pregame.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A little earlier today, big news announced Canada basketball and USA basketball will be hitting up Vegas for a, I guess, like an exhibition game ahead of Paris 2024. They're going to face off at T-Mobile Arena, a part of the USA basketball showcase on July 10th, the day before my birthday. I might have to get to Vegas to celebrate my 30th birthday, watching Canada and USA.
You're all about providing information to a lot of people today.
What's wrong with that? That's my birthday. I want people to celebrate it.
All right.
Anywho, you threw me off. Canada basketball will be playing USA basketball in Vegas. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a much different looking roster on the American side, as they also announced their training pool of players. And yeah, everybody wants to go now. All of a sudden, all of the big names want to be in the training pool after the FIBA World Cup. They saw what Canada had to bring, and they said, we better stack them.
You can add your SIN number before the end of the show. Yeah, I mean, this is an unbelievable content opportunity. Right smack dab in the middle of Summer League. You get Canada, United States. You got this unbelievable roster on the American side. And you got a really good roster from Canada.
It's going to be awesome.
On the other side, you get MVP candidates. I mean, is it Embiid? Is it Shea? I don't know. They're both going to be on the court at the same time in this exhibition game. I mean, this is what we've been kind of waiting for. Like, it's been the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. Wait in the Olympics. It has to happen. We're too good for it not to be so. But just like one exhibition game to lead up, and it's like, oh my god, it's going to be drool worthy type event. So I mean, that's a perfect placement. Summer League, a big event. The main event is not rookies and guys trying to make basketball teams at the low end. It's going to be the basketball, like the highest level. Canada, United States, going to be awesome.
Rowan Barrett, Team Canada general manager, joins us to talk about this and more. Rowan, thanks so much for coming on. How's it going?
Well, thank you for having me on.
We're pretty pumped about this, as you heard. This is like maybe a big measuring stick, maybe a big tune-up for 2024 Paris. So what went into making this decision, and how excited are you and Canada basketball to get this thing going?
Well, I think, you know, being in the actual dance, right? Being qualified for the Olympics, being one of the 12 teams that's going to play there, I think definitely makes you know, the other countries stand at attention and take notice and want to kind of get, you know, maybe feel out their opponent a little bit before they potentially play them in the Olympics. And, you know, I also think obviously this summer we were able to, you know, beat the United States and win, you know, our first bronze medal at a World Cup, the first time on the podium and our first medal since 1936. And, you know, in any World Cup or Olympics. And so, you know, I definitely think the USA wants to get a jump on that and see what we're doing and vice versa. I think, you know, we want to see what they're doing and how they look and get a good feel of them before, you know, a dress rehearsal before we actually get it on there at the Olympics.
So we're obviously a couple of months removed from getting back to the Olympics, right? Like it's been, you know, 8 months, 6 months or so. What's the emotion for you? Is it like an immense amount of relief off your shoulders, given that you've gotten to this point, that you know what's expected this summer, that you got that bugaboo off your back? Is that the emotion, or is it just, you know, we're looking forward to the next time we're going to tip it off?
Yeah, no, I don't think in that way. I'm always looking forward. And I think that we have an opportunity here to do something tremendous this summer. And so I think what we really feel good about is having a full year to plan. You know, having a full year to plan and be ready. We don't have a qualification tournament that we have to go to or anything else. There are other teams that will be in the Olympics that do have to do that. We're happy to not have to do that and just really focus on getting our team together, have full-on evaluation this year of our guys and put our exhibition schedule together to give us the best chance to be successful when we get there. So, no, we're looking forward. You know, we're excited, and we're going to go to play to make Canada proud, our families proud, and give these athletes an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done, you know, in a generation.
Yeah, what does this year consist of for you? Is it a constant evaluation process? You're just watching the NBA and players maybe playing overseas constantly and giving them some advice? Is it more of a laid-back approach where you're not really involved in the day-to-day of these guys? Like, kind of take us through your day-to-day, what your week looks like, what you're doing to make sure Canada basketball is in the best position it can be this summer.
No, I think that wherever there are challenges, I mean, definitely you're trying to step in and, you know, and help. But, you know, when a player is making, you know, when a player has another employer, you know, their focus is going to be with their team for the majority of the year. And so, and obviously their teams take, you know, really good care of them. And so there isn't a ton that's needed to be done during the year for them for the most part. You're definitely doing a lot of evaluation of your players in the NBA and your players overseas. I think where there are challenges or where there's medical issues or, you know, if there's a second opinion or something that's needed, obviously we're there. Where there's, you know, any type of support, moral, you know, or otherwise, it's there. You know, you're there to support that as well. You know, and then obviously you're communicating with their teams and their, you know, their agents and their marketers. And, you know, each athlete, you know, you see one athlete standing in front of you, but there are sometimes 20 people around that athlete that you must touch and impact, and ensure that, you know, hey, is everybody moving in the same direction, right? That's going to lead this player down towards playing for his country in the summer. And obviously that's my job. And so, you know, we'll be doing that as we often do. But I do think the major area was driving commitment and gaining the commitment of our athletes for 3 years through the end of this quad to give their time to play for their country. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. NBA players, especially the NBA players, they make a lot of money. They don't go anywhere they don't want to go, right? They're not going anywhere. It's not like we can contract them to any, like if they don't want to be there, they're not going to be there. And so gaining their commitment to want to come during the summer when they should be recovering from their seasons or preparing themselves for their next seasons during their time off, they're coming effectively and donating millions of dollars of their time to play for their country. And so I'm excited that we're at a stage now that our players want and love to play for their country. And I do believe having gained that commitment from them and them seeing us continue that year by year and seeing all the players buying in, I do think that that helps us a long way towards having our players in tow and everybody being ready, having continuity going into this summer.
So when you're making decisions over the next couple of months and into the summer, how do you balance doing right by the guys that got you to Paris and you know, opening the doors for the guys who could help you thrive even more in Paris?
Yeah, no, great question. I think one, you have to have continuity, right? I mean, we cannot create an all-star team and then expect to win, you know, like just throw a bunch of talent together, patch it together, throw it up on the wall and then expect that you're just going to win. Doesn't work that way. The USA, you know, did not win a medal at the World Cup and they didn't win a medal in the last World Cup either, you know. Going there with the most talented team doesn't guarantee anything. There needs to be some continuity. So we're definitely looking to have continuity in our team with players that have committed and put their time and energy on the court for the country and done it to a successful end. I think that being said, you know, all the teams that we're playing against, they're going to be getting better next summer, you know? And so we also need to be prepared because the bottom line is that we didn't actually win that tournament this summer, right? We didn't finish at the top of the podium. And so that means that there's work to be done. And so the areas we need to shore up, some of the areas that maybe impacted us negatively, right? And we have to look towards, you know, what's going on within our athlete pool to help us to shore up some of those challenges that we had. And so that might require us, yes, to look deeper into our pool and to make some adjustments that help us. Because the bottom line at the end is we need to win, you know, like we need continuity and we're going to respect our athletes. At the same time, our athletes want to win, you know? And so whatever we might need to do to add, which I don't plan on it being a whole ton, because we want to keep our continuity, because you can have subtraction by addition, right? And we don't want that. But we need to win. So, you know, we'll address it as we go along, and we'll get through the season. Let's make sure everybody's healthy. That will impact also what happens with our team. So it's too far out to tell you exactly what that will look like. It might feel like I'm dancing here a little bit, but it's just too far out for us to really be able to answer that question. But once the season ends, our guys are healthy. They're not playing anymore. Everybody's healthy. They've gotten their postseason diagnostics and everything else. We'll have a much better idea where we are.
We're chatting with Rowan Barrett, Team Canada General Manager, ahead of what's going to be an exciting calendar year. I want to ask you about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You're talking about players that have bought in, that have been committed, that have continued to grow their game. Well, he's basically the perfect script for that. Has this season even surprised you at the level he's gotten to? Of course, you've watched him develop, but he's in the MVP conversation of the NBA, and he continues to get better and better. And he's a Canadian guy. Like, we're blessed to have him. But has his season surprised even you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's my expectation. This kid can play. And look, I mean, I watched him play. I remember we first brought him into the gym. I think he was 15 years old. He was slim, really skinny. Look at the long arms. I saw him all the way down the other side of the gym. I said, who's that? What position does he play? We'd never seen him before. And, you know, a couple of years later, he was on our team, you know, and I can remember taking flack for putting him on our team, right? People didn't really know him. Mm. And I put him on the team, and I said, this kid, I'm not sure what everybody else is seeing, but this kid is 6'5" point guard, you know? Like, am I missing something? Like, what? And I've just watched him grow and develop every year, better. Better in our training center in the summer in Toronto, our national training center, grinding away, right? No hoopla, no cameras, just hard work, grinding away. And so what you're seeing now is multiple years of work. Last year he was scoring 30 points a game. We shouldn't be surprised in doing it again. But I do think I saw growth from him in the summertime. I do think I saw an athlete that grew in terms of bringing the team along with him, you know, not just a singular talent, but just grew in controlling the game and bringing the team along with him, trusting his teammates. And I think that's gone and reverberated right into his season. His assist numbers are great. Obviously he knows how to take over the game when it's time to do that. And I also think that the growth of the players on his team that were very young, you know, he's gotten some reinforcements. And so, wow, you know, I think I'm more, maybe surprised by the team success, you know, being so highly ranked in the Western Conference, but not by his performance. He's a tremendous talent.
Yeah, everything he's touching right now turning to gold. I mean, you talk about, you know, how he can elevate his team, did that with Canada over the summer, doing it now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I want to dial it back to the summer one more time before we ask you a little bit about RJ and the Toronto Raptors. Jordy Fernandez, of course, kind of thrust into this position, not hastily at all, but, it was definitely a change and maybe an unexpected one at the time. How did Jordy get more out of your club than, you know, maybe what was promised?
You know, I think that our goal was to qualify, mm-hmm. and our goal was the podium, right? Regardless of who the coach was going to be, that was our goal. That was our ambition for this summer. And, obviously we came just a little bit short getting the bronze, but nevertheless, we're into historic territory for us. And so that was the charge if you were going to take this job. And, he saw that. He believed that could be for our team. And I think it started there, you know, that he saw what we saw. And then I think, secondly, the strength of the culture that we've built was able to absorb us changing a coach 2 months out from, you know, the World Cup. And, our players and, you know, look, we don't do anything without our players. We are a player-centric program. Obviously, I have to lead it and drive it, and our coach comes in and he drives the team and everything else. But, you know, without the players, you're not winning anything, you know. And for our players to a man to say, Rowan, okay, who's this coach? Who are we bringing? You believe he can get it done? Yes. You got to trust me here. All right. You know what? We got you. And, you know, we love Nick Nurse, who's been awesome, but we love our country. And that's why we're here. You know, we're not here for any one singular person. We're here for the flag. And to see our players step up in that way, for me, was an awesome test of our culture. And then I think embracing this coach. And right from the beginning, this guy was cool as a cucumber. I mean, he was ready to go. He knew how to handle these players. And I said it before, if you don't know how to handle the players, it doesn't matter what you know tactically or technically. They will tune you out. If you don't know how to handle them, these are NBA players. You better know what you're doing. And he does. He has many years of experience in the NBA. And I think the last test for the guys to just fully give him everything was when we went to the exhibition games. And in our exhibition games, we played the current number one, two, and three teams in the world. We beat two of them in the exhibitions, right? With Germany, who won the World Cup, we beat them. And Spain, the world number one, we beat them. We beat them both in their home. And watching him on the sideline and in the huddle, in the foxhole, right, under pressure, right, overtime, you know, last minute, and he was drawing stuff up and it was being executed. That was the last step for the guys to say, okay, this guy is the real deal. You know, he's the real deal at the highest level in the hardest moment. And they gave in. They gave everything to this guy. And you saw it, right? You saw Dylan Brooks, who some games took four or five shots in a game. And then in the most important game, he scores 39 points, you know? And so, coach, if you need me to defend and dive on the floor and stand in a corner so Shea can operate, I'll do that. If in this game you need me to take more shots, I'll do that too. And it's those things. When you see that happening with NBA guys, nobody's bickering. Nobody's worried about how many shots they're getting. Everybody's giving it up for the flag. I think that was probably the most effective thing and probably one of the greatest ways to characterize Jordy's run with us this summer, was the ability to get all of these guys to buy in and get onto one page and to do it for the country.
We're chatting with Rowan Barrett, Team Canada General Manager, but I want to talk to Rowan Barrett, Dad, because RJ Barrett is now a Toronto Raptor. It's been an exciting couple weeks. Now that it's all settled in, tell us about that moment, I guess, and that conversation when he's like, I'm coming home, I'm going to be a Toronto Raptor. The family pride must be running pretty deep right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were all in New York. It was Christmas time, and you know, the family were all there. And, you know, his aunts and his uncles and grandmothers and, you know, mom and dad and his brother, the cousins, everybody was there. And so when he came in, flew in, left the team and flew back in to New York, he came in the house. He came into the house to loud cheers, you know? Loud cheers, right? You're going home, you know? You know, he was excited. He was happy. And, you know, we didn't give him even one moment to look down or to think, you know, to move, look left or right. Like, this is good. This is good for you. He believed it would be. He had a ton of support from his family. And then when he got to Toronto, right from the beginning, the culture of the Raptors is phenomenal, phenomenal culture, that organization. Players, and I think Emmanuel quickly shared it, right? Like, he could feel it. You know, from landing on the airstrip when they came to get you, like, he could feel it immediately. And I think, you know, the first game and the love receiving from the crowd, I just think was like, okay, you know, this is everything I thought it was going to be. Let's go, you know. And obviously he hasn't looked back. He's playing well. You know, I think obviously the team is moving players and trading and doing that. So they're building. And so, you know, got to be a little bit patient there. But, no, I think he loves his new digs. He's, you know, the culture. He's working with the coach. And you know, hopefully this will be a, you know, tremendous run for him here in Toronto.
That's all great stuff. I like that RJ was hosting Christmas, too. Does he make, like, a mean ham, mean turkey? I don't know if he's got the cooking chops, but that's pretty cool that everyone was there for that moment. I mean, you kind of answered it a little bit there, but what the Raptors meant to him when he was growing up, like, were they, you know, obviously had his father who played for the Canadian national team and a relationship with Steve. Like, there are obvious things there to point to, but the Raptors, I'm sure, meant a lot to him when he was a kid as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine, I mean, most of what, like, my vintage, I mean, you know, we grew up, there wasn't any basketball here. I mean, we grew up watching hockey, you know? We grew up watching hockey, Boyer Salming, Daryl Sittler, Mike Palmateer, you know what I mean? And, like, I can't imagine that young kid putting on a hockey uniform, you know, and playing for the Maple Leafs, you know. I can remember watching Ben Johnson, you know, and these guys running in the Olympics and winning the gold, you know, and the relay and everything else. I mean, like, you know, when I finally was able to put on the Canada jersey and go out there, you know, it was surreal. It's like, wow, you know, I did it. I'm here. And now all those little kids in the country, they're going to look at me like I was looking at, you know, the Olympians before me, mm-hmm. right? And so this is an amazing thing. I think RJ knows that this comes. I think, one, there's a nostalgic piece, but then I think also there's a responsibility that comes along with that, you know? And I think he knows and understands that because he lived it, coming to the arena, meeting DeRozan, you know, meeting, you know, in the tunnel. He'd be in the tunnel. He'd meet all those guys. Tracy McGrady would be in there, and Kyrie Irving and LeBron. He would get to meet all these guys and see them. And now you're walking those same hallways as a Raptor, and now you're taking the pictures with the little kids, you know, and you're signing the autographs for the little ones there. There's no way that's lost on him. And so, you know, I think, one, obviously I want him to play well on the court and I want him to enjoy himself. But as a father, I want him to be responsible in the community and be a good role model for these kids and make sure that he's inspiring the next generation. You know, you can't be selfish here, right? It's not all about you. You know, you play to inspire people. And, you know, outside of yourself and all the great things for his family, you know, you play to bring joy to people, you know? And so, you know, if I see the smile gone from his face and I see him not doing that, you know that dad's going to be in his grill, you know? Dad's going to be in his grill.
It sounds like he's in the perfect spot.
Yeah, he's well on his way to accomplishing that, like inspiring that next generation, wearing the Raptors jersey proud, and, of course, wearing the Team Canada jersey just as proud as well. We appreciate your time so much today, Rowan. Excited about the next year ahead. And for RJ here in Toronto, we're having a blast covering him as well. So thanks so much, and we'll definitely chat down the road.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Rowan Barrett, Team Canada General Manager, dad of newest Toronto Raptor 2, RJ Barrett. It's been an absolute blast getting to chat with him. You can tell there's a kid's raised right.
You know? Yeah, you can tell that he running a really important basketball program, fathering an NBA player, it makes a little bit more sense when you're talking to him.
Yeah, 100%. Wow. So that's exciting. Yeah, if you missed it earlier, Canada is going to face USA at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on July 10th. We're going to have that game on Sportsnet. You could go. Tickets are on sale. It's going to be an absolute blast. Let me just mention the United States announcing their training pool of players. Mm-hmm. They announced a large group of players. I believe it was 42 players and named to this training pool. Scotty Barnes is one of them. Sorry, 41 players named for this as well. Scotty Barnes, one of the best 41 players, American-born, to be in this. But let me just name a couple others. Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, De'Aaron Fox, Paul George, Tyrese Halliburton, James Harden, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, Jason Tatum. So, yeah, the United States wants to come to Paris and win. They were probably looking at everybody else on the podium at the FIBA World Cup saying, we'd like to get there. But I just wanted to mention one thing, and I don't know if Rowan was alluding to the United States when he said you can't just put a bunch of all-stars out there, but like, what did I just read? A list of all-stars. But I do think that he's got a pretty good perspective about building a team and how that, not only just putting the best players in the world together, chemistry, buy-in, you know, not just jumping on ship when it's time to party here, but like building from the ground up. So the United States is going to look real good, but I also think Canada's got an interesting perspective of, like, let's also build a team to go to Paris.
Well, there's only one ball. So, I mean, it sounds great that you have all these guys mm-hmm. who can do wonderful things with it. But there's only one guy who can have the ball at a time. And, you know, clearly they're going to have a massive talent advantage. But it doesn't matter if you have...
I always like the underdog.
A fifth forward who's so much better than what we have on Canada. It's going to be the 5-on-5, and we'll see what happens in that exhibition game and in Paris quickly, because we promised it. Kyle Lowry traded to Charlotte, will be bought out. Is there an acceptable destination for you?
Give me Kyle Lowry on the Sixers. That's what I want
that too.
I want it. I want to see it. He deserves it.
A little magic with Nick Nurse.
It's going to happen. Let's put the, you know, put it in the air right now. It's going to happen.
I'm Team Sixers now.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm Team Sixers. Once the Raptors are out,
poor
Team
Adrian
Sixers.
Griffin fired from the Bucks. Like, I'm all Sixers all the way now.
Not the Bucks. Never the Bucks.
No. Quick Vegas money line tonight, folks. Plus money. That's my best bet of the night. I'm going with Bunker's dog of the day. Vegas got reamed out last night. They're going to win tonight.
And Oilers, -1.5, -150. 14 in a row.
14 in a row. All right. We're going to go for 3 in a row tomorrow. The fan pregame is back. Have a great night, everyone. Thanks to that Cassie and Rowan. That was a great show today. Appreciate it.